Yup, that's me on a live podcast with my ex-girlfriend that over 800,000 people watched. You've got balls, Hamza. I've spent the last few years trying to find a girl I'm compatible with. I just want a girl who doesn't go out partying or flirts with other guys while she's in a relationship. And no male friends. Sounds easy to find, right? Wrong. Let's even ignore the brutal truth about the modern dating market.
What the hell?
And just look at me. I mean, seriously, look at me. So this is what a perfect human being looks like. This is what the Greeks envisioned when they described gods and sculpted beauty from marble. As you can see, I'm narcissistic. So let's rewind back to my childhood to see where all this difficulty in finding love started. I didn't really see healthy love growing up. I feel like I probably shouldn't even be saying this to the internet because it's so personal, but my family life was just so chaotic. When I was young, things were pretty good. My dad would take us out on a small family trip every weekend to the park or the beach, and, you know, we did things as a family. But then everything changed
when the Fire Nation attacked.
And by Fire Nation, I mean a racist gang that targeted my family when we lived in Liverpool. We lived just a mile away from where Anthony Walker was brutally murdered because of the color of his skin. These guys targeted my family because we were brown. It started in school first, not my school, but my sister's high school, where one of the guys from this gang walked up behind her and poured his sticky energy drink all over her hair. When my dad went into the school to complain, it just went worse, and we actually lived so close to the school that they found out where our home was. And so every few days, they would show up outside at 6 or 7 p.m. screaming, "Packy!" They were throwing eggs at the window, and when we'd call the police, well, they'd just run away. They were too quick to catch, and of course, the police had more serious crimes to deal with. This whole time was so stressful for us that my mum wouldn't even let me go play outside, and so I was just sheltered indoors, just feeling this anxiety in my family build up. And then on October 30th, the night before Halloween, I was upstairs in my bedroom, so I didn't hear the initial crash, just the screaming afterwards. My heart rate shot up as I gasped, and I ran to my door to open it. The screaming came from downstairs, so me and my mum ran down. I could see my dad, angry as fuck, walking aggressively to the front door. And my brother walked in from the living room, and he shouted, "They broke the window!" The gang that had targeted my family for months, they went from eggs to bricks, and they completely shattered the living room window and also the rear window of our car. By the time my dad opened the door, they had already run away, and we felt so desperate. My dad and my mom decided that we should just move away from here. So we started to like view houses, and very quickly and silently we moved. Like, I wasn't allowed to tell anyone else where we were moving to. Now my dad was working long hours every day to be able to like save money so that we could move. And those weekend family days out just stopped. And so the violence that was happening outside of our family with this gang had stopped. But now the violence that was happening inside the family was only going to get worse. There's a famous experiment called the marshmallow test. Kids are put in front of a marshmallow and they're told that if they can wait for 15 minutes, they can have 2 marshmallows. It's a test to see if a child is disciplined and a long-term thinker. It sounds simple, but the result of this test actually predicts how successful the child will be later on in life. And then there's me. Now, Hamza, you can have one. I would have ate the first marshmallow in seconds. I'm not waiting, I need it now. My nervous system is in survival mode. So now, 20 years later, the kind of love that I sought out was probably toxic because that's what I was used to from my family life. Which is really sad when you think about it. People who have tough upbringings tend to find themselves repeating the pattern when they're older. And that's what I did. I was looking for love in the kind of places where you find STDs, nightclubs, and dating apps. And when I did find a girl I liked and things seemed to be going well, it would always crash down because of the type of people we were, because, as a hint, people who go to nightclubs and parties are not ready for relationships. But honestly, I did something I am proud of. Instead of blaming someone else or even the dating market as a whole, I looked at myself and thought, what is it about me that causes this? Well, I look for short-term opportunities instead of trying to build something long-term, hence the marshmallow test situation. So I decide to focus on myself. I start to meditate every single day to regulate my nervous system. I read dozens of books on trauma and start to understand that a lot of my actions are just because of what I experienced as a child, and I slowly start to undo that pattern. Not perfectly, but I am making progress. I hire multiple different therapists over a few years, and by the way, therapy is bullshit for men. I learn to have the strength to really say what's on my mind, to voice what I need from a partner with confidence that if we are compatible, they can give me that. And I develop a really sweet side to my heart that I don't show to many people, including on YouTube. I respect the feminine more and I understand more about how a woman feels. And life has an interesting way of giving you what you want, but only when you're ready. Because when I was ready, that's when I noticed her. I would see her in the gym and she was the most beautiful girl. The type of girl who looks classy and healthy. And she's unbothered by everyone else. Her eyes don't even go up from the exercise bike she's on to look at people in the gym. I saw guys try to speak to her and she was always closed off and they'd walk away looking like they'd be rejected. But for some reason, I just knew that we were going to be together. So I just went up to her and I asked her out. Kind of like how they do it in the olden days, or so I've heard. No Instagram, no DMs, no texting. I just walked over in front of everyone, got her attention, and within a second it was obvious that she liked me and that I made her nervous. Her face went as pink as the shirt she was wearing, so obviously I pointed that out and that made her even more nervous, and that was the start of our love life. I'll tell you what's happened this week so you can get a realistic view of the relationship and why I'm so proud of this and why I respect her so much. So on Sunday, we were together at my place and we had a good time, but I was thinking so deeply about my work. So I just told her that, you know, I needed to be alone to think through this. So she just got her stuff and she just left. And she texted me saying that it's always fine when I need that space. We're a team. And that made me feel like so safe that I can actually tell her sometimes that, like, I can't be with you right now. I still love you, but I can't be next to you right now because I'm really deep in thought about something else. She didn't get offended or overly clingy or anything. She understood that men, especially entrepreneurs, need their own space. On Monday, I told her my thoughts about YouTube, not feeling so amazing with it, and I asked her randomly like what she thought I should do with my YouTube channel. Now, she's not a YouTuber, but I just thought it'd be interesting to see what she said, and she suggested to do a series. And because I really value her intuition, I've given it a try, and this is the series that we're talking about. When I was younger, I used to keep things like this private. Like, I never wanted to show any kind of weakness to my girl. You know, I don't want to tell them that maybe I'm overthinking about work. But now I feel like I'm dating a mature woman who can actually understand and doesn't really judge it. Plus, I'm communicating it in a way that doesn't make me sound desperate or weak. It's just something that I'm wondering about and I'm including her into it. The same day, she also said that I didn't send her a good morning video, so I sent her one. And she says, I want to cuddle and eat and watch a series with you. It's always so cozy. So I say, okay, let's do it tomorrow. And she's excited by that. The next day, I made sure to get everything I needed done early. So I recorded a YouTube video. I wrote a few hundred words in my book. Yeah, I'm writing a book, by the way. I went to MMA training with my coach Zach and my friend Kaz. And then I picked her up. And then we could have a fun, relaxing evening without me feeling like I was slacking on my goals. When I was younger, I'd hang out with girls whenever I wanted, which was the short-term option, because then I'd slack in the tasks that I said I'd do that day, and I'd even grow to resent the girl, even though it wasn't her fault, it was mine. So learning from that, I always make sure to do what I need to do before I see her. The next day, I wanted to learn how to improve my foot mobility, and I watched a really good video about it titled, You're Ruining Your Feet. So I sent it to her and I said that I want our children to be so healthy, running around always barefoot and natural. She watched the video and agreed with what I said and told me a story that when she was a toddler, her parents would let her walk barefoot or in wired sandals, which is probably why she has such good mobility today. She also said that she always falls even more in love with me when I share my thoughts, thinking ahead about children. I sent her a little video of me walking on the treadmill without shoes, which is what she actually does, and she replies, still can't believe you're my boyfriend. We went to a cute cafe together the next day, and it was pouring with rain. And when I dropped her back off at her place, I found a tree that had cute flowers. So I picked them and I drove back to put them on her bike whilst it was still raining so heavily. So she thought that was so cute. On another day this week, we had a sleepover at mine. And I tried to limit the amount of days she can sleep over with me because even though she wants to do it every night, I really, really value my sleep. And usually it's a little bit worse when sleeping together. When I was younger, I wouldn't even think about things like this. I'd just try and spend as much time as possible. But now I realize that some distance here and there is a good thing, especially if you communicate it well, which I feel like I've done recently. That same night, she woke up and quietly said to me that she was going to go get water because she had finished her glass and she was still thirsty. But I told her, no, baby, I'll go downstairs and I'll go get it for you. She was surprised at first, and then, you know, she felt like it was so cute. And I didn't think it was like such a big deal, but I know that she really likes these like small gestures. So that's why I try and remember to do them. And so the next day she texted me and she said, you have no idea how much I appreciate those things and I will never take it for granted. Yesterday, she was at my place whilst I was at the gym, and when I came back, she must have heard my bike because she ran to the door to greet me there. And I was surprised, and I just really valued that little gesture. Like, she came to the door to greet me there instead of just, you know, letting me come inside. That's the way all men want their wives and their children to greet them every time we come home, and I'm so happy that I have that. Throughout this week, she said to me multiple times that she was sorry for being clingy and annoying, but every single time I tell her that she never annoys me. I love the feeling of her being close to me. I think constantly telling her this lets her relax and just express her love without holding back, which is just so sweet. These are just the cute, soft relationship skills that are pretty new to me, but I'm still keeping up the more masculine traits that are focused on attraction. Because these things are doubly important, like making sure you look amazing, you feel amazing, I'm still dominant, I'm a leader, I'm the highest status man around. These are the traits that make you attractive to women that most young men are actually lacking in and should focus on first. And you can learn all about the attraction stage inside Library of Adonis, including even how to escalate on a first date and how to actually be good in the bedroom. You can check the link in the description if you're interested. And look, just because I'm in a relationship now doesn't mean that you need to be. What's right for me in the stage of life I'm at may not be right for you. But for when you do want to seek out love, I hope it comes in the form of the most healthy connection you've ever had in your life. It's still quite early days of this relationship, but so far I'm really happy with how things are going. We've had some bits of conflict here and there, but always resolved it so quickly with so much respect for one another. We genuinely feel like a team, and having her in my life feels so sweet. I'm in a healthy relationship and I'm just so happy about that. There is one thing, however, that I'm struggling with. I thought having a girlfriend would make my life easier, but actually, it's so much harder. And I'll tell you all about this in the next episode of My Love Life, which will be episode 6. I would love to have 2.5 million subscribers, and I wish you could help me with that. So subscribe today and we can have 2.5 million members in our community. And I'll see you in the next episode.